have some fucking nerve. You know what this woman just did to me? She said, you ready to record? I said, yeah. She goes, here. What did she hand me? None other than a bottle of Die Hard. Wait. Die Hot with a Vengeance, the debut fragrance from Sable Young.
Yes.
I hold it here in my hands. I'm screaming into the mic. Can you hear me now, commenters? Welcome back to Smell You Later. I'm holding Sable's perfume.
Yeah.
It's so fucking sick. This looks so good. This looks so good.
I'm so thrilled that they came out so well.
Not that I expected anything less.
I was nervous.
But like, this feels like it's luxury.
Yes.
This feels like a product.
It's luxury because they say it's luxury.
This is
because everybody else can do that. So
but
why not
like,
me?
I love it.
I'm so happy with how the bottles turned out. They look so good.
They look so good.
We just, me and my perfumer's business partner, just the three of us, his studio, filling these bottles by hand all fucking day yesterday. So I feel like it's like, I felt bad. I'm like, your whole apartment's going to smell like this for a month.
Good.
But it was like such a satisfying feeling to just like fill all the bottles. And like we had a little assembly line. Yeah. I'm so happy with it.
And yeah. I'm so happy that I am the first one to receive. It's called Exclusive. Heard of it? Don't worry. I know that we've been talking about this on and off for months, but we are recording our episode with the perfumer next week.
Yes.
Knock on wood.
We will have a dedicated episode for this fragrance and everything about it. So that will be coming probably the week after this.
And then,
if not the week after that.
Yes. Well, no, not the week after that, because that's, you know what that is.
Yeah.
We finally have a plan for what we're doing with this show.
Guys, we figured out how to editorially strategize.
Listen, we do this for fun. Can you tell?
Welcome back to Smell You Later.
My heart's like palpitating.
Our podcast about yelling.
Our podcast about Sable. Just kidding. No, sick.
I'm just like, we filled less bottles than I thought we were going to fill. So it's
going to
be
the number you gave me, it's not small.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we have ballpark 240 bottles.
Okay.
So.
Well.
Well.
It's getting real. I was looking at the calendar a week or two back, and I was like, her book is coming out in less than a month.
Dude, no one is more disassociating about this than me. Everyone's like, are you excited? I'm like, about what?
Yeah.
I'm like, your book? I was like, oh, right, yeah, that. Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. I love that.
I'm like more excited about the, I think just because I've been dealing with the book for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, the perfume is exciting.
Well, I guess, and we can talk more about this at whatever time, but how does it feel leading up to it? Because this has been such a long process, as I'm sure it always is, but
it's very nerve-wracking.
Now that it's almost here, it's, what do you feel?
I'm more nervous now, obviously,
really?
Because it's so close. Only just because I saw my publisher has started mailing copies to book talk people and whatnot and press and, I don't know, book influencers, the literati.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been like not many, I can count them on one hand, of like TikToks I've seen of people talking about it. And it's funny because like they're not talking about the book. They're talking about my publisher had like makeup pouches made as like merch or swag. And they sent them separately.
Oh, weird.
I don't know why. So it's like a lot of people like opening the book, like, oh my God, I got a package from HarperCollins. Like, let's see what it is. It's super light. So I don't think it's a book. And they're like, it's a makeup pouch. And then they'll say like, oh, I got the book a week earlier. And then I got this. And then they just move on to the next thing they got. And I'm like, wow, it really sucks to like, this is why brands are just like, the dopamine is.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I feel like Oliver Twist. I'm like, please, sir, may I have some more dopamine, please? Mostly I'm just like, I just hope people enjoy it. I have such low, I feel like the lower the expectation you have, the better.
Yeah.
Because then anything is like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And I feel that way for me about the whole process. And I feel that way for the reader. I'm like, go in with low expectations. And I hope you come out feeling like you learn something.
There is. Yeah, let's not sell it short, Sable. There is no reason to go in with low expectations. I'm telling you, this book
is... I'm so used to being an underdog.
You've always been that girl. What are you talking about?
But I think especially now, this wasn't definitely not true when we started out writing and stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like so much of success or perceived success is like a lot of bluster and a lot of talking yourself up and hyping yourself up and just like creating content about your hype and like creating a persona. For what you do,
of course.
More so almost than what you actually do.
Yeah.
And I've always been a person who's like, I'm not going to tell people what I'm doing. I'm just going to drop it when it's ready and be like, here, I made this for you.
Yeah.
Because that way there's no expectation.
Yep.
And they can be like, oh my God, you've been doing this the whole time. And I had no idea. I'm like, yeah, here you go. Enjoy it.
Yeah, agreed.
Let me tell you when it's relevant, not to tell you like, get ready. Like yeah. DJ voice, come, big things coming. Yeah. It's just so meaningless now to do that. And I feel the pressure to do it just because I'm like, ooh, this is like a really big project. I should really put a proper push behind it. But yeah. I'm like, what even is a proper push? Right. The proper push is having the fucking thing out and in your hands.
Yeah.
That's the push.
Yeah. We're almost there.
We're almost there.
And I cannot wait for your Die Hot with a Vengeance era, because it is really something. I don't know. I'm just so excited to watch it all unfold. But we'll get there. We have some things planned.
We have some things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, because I literally haven't.
You did see me two nights ago. But yes. Other than that, yeah. No, it has been a minute with the moving and just you traveling and everything. It's been a second, but it's good to be back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I texted you this when I was in Miami. So I just went to Miami last week to hang out. My boyfriend had a work trip, and he's like, I have this hotel room, you want to come? And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, that whole week, there were thunderstorm flash flood warnings the whole week. And it did pour and monsoon, like, most of that time, which sucked. But every fucking place I went to in Miami, the restaurants, the hotel lobbies, any establishment with a door, Baccarat Rouge. Everyone was wearing Baccarat Rouge.
Yeah.
And it got to the point, like, I was there for 4 days, and towards the end of the trip, I'm like, I'm just gonna ask people.
Yeah.
I was in an elevator with a woman, and I was like, oh, is that Baccarat Rouge you're wearing? And she looked at me scandalized. She looked legitimately shocked, as if like...
My very loud, very obvious fragrance.
She was like, I am. And I was like, cool. We got off the elevator, and Noah was like, I love how you asked that woman what her fragrance was and then did not compliment her on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did that, didn't I? But I was shocked at how ubiquitous it was. It was insane.
It sort of crazy. Makes sense. It does sort of give Miami.
I guess.
You know?
I guess now, maybe. Yeah. It's like the trickle-down effect from like everyone from New York absconding to Miami.
Right,
but
right.
What was also funny is that we were at this one bar club. I think it was called Medium Cool.
Okay.
And they had like a everybody bathroom.
Okay.
And it was just like an open door. People could come and go. And they had a bathroom attendant. But on the sink, just like haphazardly placed, there was no presentation to it, but there were two bottles of men's cologne. Because you know how sometimes some club bathrooms have like, the cologne tray? Like it wasn't in a tray, it was just like on the sink.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is gross. Yeah. It was Paco Rabanne 1 million.
No. Of course.
Of course. And then like a Versace fragrance.
Welcome to Miami.
Yeah, it was literally like a welcome to Miami moment. I was like, no!
That's so funny.
Like, yeah, Miami sense. What's up?
Miami's a place, man.
It's a place, dude. I love that city, but it also feels like a bizarro world to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was good, though, the whole trip.
It was fun.
You were on Miami Beach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So nice.
In the thick of it.
Yeah.
When it wasn't torrentially pouring, it was nice.
Love that.
Yeah.
If there's one thing you need to do for your sanity, it's get the fuck out of New York. I guess that's everyone, but...
It's made me realize, I'm like, oh, I really do need to like go places more.
Yeah.
I got to get out of the house.
It's always worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
It's vital. That's what I'm manifesting for my life. Yeah. Just being able to fuck off more. More than I already do, which is fairly often. But
now we said
locally,
it.
Non-locally fuck off. Do we want to talk about the dinner we went to?
Yeah. Sable and I went to this really lovely...
Massive
event. Yeah. It was a... So DS and Durga, as you've probably heard by now, is collaborating with Volvo on a new candle called Swedish. That's Swedish and wood combined. Yeah.
I kind of like the name. It's fun to say. Swedish.
Okay. Volvo approached them, and it was cool because I was like, what?
Lost opportunity to call it Sweden.
Morning, Swood. sorry, but David was talking about David, one of the two founders of DS and Durga, the D, talking about how they got approached by Volvo and they went to Sweden and they explored all these old cars and sat in them and were inspired by the minimalism of Swedish architecture and design and everything. So I think it's really actually really nicely conceptualized in the candle. It's a very minimal wood scent, not a big banger, but I think it makes sense and serves the idea. Man, when I tell you, we've been to a lot of DS and Durga events and they're all fun because the brand's cool. We love them, but this was on some other shit.
They had that Volvo money.
It was in a warehouse.
It was in a warehouse in Greenpoint.
In Greenpoint.
A massive, like, snaking dining room situation.
Massive.
Yeah. They were probably, what, like 300 people
there?
I want
to say 300, too.
Yeah.
That
they
might
flew
be...
in people from, like, across the world for this Volvo event.
There were...
Which I think is hilarious.
And within... the snaking tables. It was like an, like the tables snaked like an S and then another S stacked on top of it. It was huge.
Yeah.
They had essentially built this, not forest, but this big lush green space. I think probably more greenery and florals than I've ever seen in one place. Mm-hmm. And there were three cars in the space, two new cars and one really vintage Volvo. I think the only one in the US, they said, out of 60 made.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was truly to the nines. Yeah. The content team was like 10 people. They had drones indoors.
Yeah.
I'm like,
feels dangerous.
We're here. We're here now. But yeah, it was cool. All the girls were there. We had a really nice time. It's always fun to turn out for a brand that we like so much and see this evolution of where they're going. Yeah. It's always also, I know that collaborations are perhaps on the out, but still in ways a dime a dozen, but it's fun to see what DS and Durga gets up to because it feels more intentional.
Yeah, it's fun to see your friends succeed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I feel about it. But otherwise, I'm like, all is for a candle.
Hey.
Which sounds and looks ridiculous when you think about it that way. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
But I'm just also wondering, I'm like, what's the ROI on this? What do you want from this? What's expected to happen? I truly don't know.
Sales, I mean, girl.
Happy to be invited. Happy to be fed. Mm-hmm. But what am I meant to do?
It's probably honestly more for Volvo.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that lifestyle play to an automotive brand is going to be really valuable to like them. Yeah. Whereas DS and Durga, they're good.
They're good. Yeah. I mean, good for them in getting this bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also fun because get too in the weeds or whatever, but there are so many fragrance brands, and I've said this before, but they're like, as an indie brand, and I'm like, bitch, you are in Sephora. No. Shut up. Yeah. But DS and Durga, I mean, they do have, they're in a lot of retail, but like they are truly still like an indie brand.
They
feel indie,
even though they are very, I don't know if luxury is the opposite of indie. It's not, but they're up there. They're bougie now.
Yeah, they are. But they've still kept, they're still doing what they do in the way that they have always done.
They have not, they don't seem to have sacrificed like any sort of like brand identity or.
And what I like about them too is, it has been a slow but consistent burn. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can always look at a brand and see, okay, that's when they got funding or that's when they got investors and they were told to do this. And I don't know the fucking behind the scenes with DS and Durgan. I don't care, frankly, but it's cool that it just feels like this acceleration in a way that feels very earned.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
You're right. It's like seeing your friend succeed.
And what's cool is that it doesn't, I feel like them getting more successful has only enabled them to do more of what they set out to do, which is to make really interesting, quirky sense.
Yeah, I want to see them push their idea to the furthest reaches of whatever they want to do, right? That really, really excites me. And and you're right, I don't, you know, I think that there's, whatever, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I think a lot of brands, maybe not anymore because, I don't know, critical thinking is whatever, but I think there's still this idea of like selling out or not, whatever. Yeah, but I think there's, you want a brand that you love to get big until they get too big, and now then everyone knows it, and then it's
over. Yeah, it's almost like when too many people know it, then you're like, ew, I don't like it
anymore.
But
I sort of want that to happen with DS, because they do feel like they're sticking to their guns.
When more people know about them or name drop them, then I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I know them.
Yeah,
that's so great that you know about them.
Exactly. Yeah. So shout out to them and many more years of being kooky.
Okay. So what have you in front of you?
Well, I now have, you tell me, girl, what is this? This is the Oral brand.
Binaural.
Yeah, whatever. We talked about these. You talked about these on our last episode, I think, but I'm sniffing through them now. What is this one? This smells like milk.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. A little bit. Wait. I'm also not wearing it.
I can see what you I can see what you mean by that. Yeah.
No thoughts. Have you smelled commodity juice?
I have.
What do we think, girl?
I'm not really a fruit scent person, as I've probably said many times in this podcast.
Really?
It really depends on the fruit.
Sure.
Okay, so Commodity released their new scent called Juice. And of course, it comes in like the three iterations. And it is a raspberry.
Is it?
Raspberry is like the heroed out note.
I thought it was like strawberry. It might be strawberry, raspberry, and rhubarb.
Rhubarb, yeah. Raspberry and rhubarb.
Yeah.
And I love rhubarb.
I don't like rhubarb.
Oh, interesting.
My grandmother used to make rhubarb pie, but it was, I think it was always so bitter.
Oh.
I don't think I've actually ever had good rhubarb.
Okay. That'll do it. That'll do it to you.
No shade, grandma.
Yeah. But the something about the way that the juice scent is reminds me a lot of those Little Trees car air fresheners.
Really?
And I remember once a Little Trees car air freshener scent making me so car sick I threw up. It's just embedded in my mind that that's the dangerous scent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
So anytime I smell whatever the combination of that scent is, I'm like, I like get car sick. So it's unfortunate because when I read the notes, I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting and zesty.
Yeah.
But I was like, nope, that's not the rhubarb I know and love.
I personally am really excited about the idea of the scent because when Commodity came back and dropped Milk, you know that I am obsessed with Milk. Yeah. And I was thinking about it because their original core collection is what? Book, moss, they're all objects and nouns and shit. Mm-hmm. And when they came back with Milk, I was wondering where they would go next. And I think Juice is a nice partner to Milk in a way that still keeps it in that universe. I also really, it's a beverage. I'm also really into it because I feel like we're having, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like everyone went back and smelled Byredo Pulp and then just tried to do their own version, which I love.
I've heard a lot of people name dropping Pulp recently.
In the past year, we've gotten so many, fruity scents are not unique, but in the way that they're like bright, nectary, and so fruit forward, I'm thinking DS Nderga Black Magenta. I'm thinking Ellis Brooklyn Miami Nectar. I'm thinking now Juice. Fruit for the sake of fruit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really exciting, especially like red fruits are fun. I like it. I think the most successful version of it is the expressive because personal is the lightest, bold is the boldest.
Yeah. Expressive is like the baseline.
The baseline. Yeah. I think that's the best version of it. And yeah, I still think I prefer Milk over it, but I'm just excited to see more scents like this.
Yeah.
Exist,
I think if you liked Mugler Angel Nova, the pink star.
No one wore that. One smelled that.
You will like this one. I think Kara has that one.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But that also is a very raspberry forward scent.
You're right.
So if you like that, you'll probably be interested in Juice.
Yeah. It's great.
But yeah, it's a loud one.
It is a loud one.
Yeah. As far as fruits go, I'm like, I feel like someone's like, oh, fruits are coming back now. And then the response is just like, that's what this smells like to me.
Should we do these or save them for another episode?
I am wearing one.
Also, can we talk about these?
Yeah, they posted them on Instagram.
Oh,
yeah.
You're right.
Ask me.
Okay. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Oh, my God. So I'm so excited about this.
Yes.
I feel like
this sort of came out of nowhere.
I thought they were going to drop it in May, they said. Oh. So it's like, it's a month later. Not bad. Okay. Alloria has a new collection out.
Fuck, yes.
It is... Tynan's reading the card right now. I forgot. But I smell like one of the scents called Jang. And Jang is, I remember smelling this on Fragrance Day at their store event. And they had said, we did a cute like blind smell thing where they wouldn't tell us the names of the scents. They just said, this is part of our new collection. Here are the notes, we hear it out. And Jang is meant to be a really unique gourmand scent because it is based on the Korean traditional fermented sauces. So yeah, one of the notes that at the time they told me about was that they had figured out a way to maybe like we can never say GCM, GCSM. They basically steal the scent essence of an object, in which case it is this aged soy sauce. It's like a salty gourmand.
It's like spicy.
Yeah, it's like zesty, spicy, salty. There's something a little boozy. It's like a little bit whiskey-ish about it.
This is crazy.
It's crazy. I've not smelled anything like it before. It's so hard to describe because I haven't smelled anything like it before, but in this instance, I will stick to the script. The notes that they call out are ginjang, charcoal, soybean, ylang ylang, jasmine sambac, geogaya. It's one of the Givaudan proprietary scents. Styrax, Apopanax, Myrrh, and Cistus. So it's like a smoky, savory gourmand. There's something like salty incense about it and like a little bit whiskey.
These all smell so crazy.
Yeah, but it's like such a complex scent that it almost has like this like static electricity energy about it. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's so good. It's actually better than I remember from smelling it the first time
this
at that event.
This is really wild.
It's honestly, I feel like this is like their most, like they really went for it with this collection.
They really went for it. So I feel like this one is really white t-shirt cottony. Mm-hmm. This one is really mineral. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she's giving.
I sprayed those blotters a while ago, like yesterday.
This one sort of gives boy. Wow.
Okay, so the Four Scents.
Allura really does it.
So well done. It's called the Timeless Legacy Collection. It is a tribute to Korea's cherished traditions and the artisans who have passed them down through generations. Very them.
Yeah.
There's a scent, Git. That's their floral scent, inspired by the elegance of traditional Korean clothing, the hanbok. There's a scent, Hanok, that is inspired by the architectural term describing a traditional Korean house, uniquely designed to harmonize with the surrounding nature. Oh, that's the piney one.
Okay.
There's Hanyo. And that embodies the bold spirit of the Jeju Island Korean female divers. The invigorating, I thought this was interesting. Okay, so in the copy. This invigorating and refreshing fragrance features Vitex rotundifolia, or sunbigi, named after the whistling sound sunbi made by divers surfacing for air. Like, what?
What?
You have made a scent based on a sound.
Okay.
That's crazy. And that one is like this minerally sea salt seaweed.
Yeah.
Very like aquatic scent. Yeah. They're so good so interesting conceptually.
Do you know what? Zhang? Am I saying it right?
Sure.
How do you say it?
I just say Zhang.
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 With a J?
Yeah.
Zhang.
Zhang.
I'm not even clowning it. I just want to make sure. Yeah. You know what this sort of gives me? You know those really old school, just I think they're called spice drops, like the first candy ever made?
Yeah.
It's if you ate the white one that's really minty and the black one that's really licorice at once.
Oh, interesting.
It's sort of like mint and anise and like and more spice and booze. You're right. Yeah. This is really giving it all. It's like an evolution of Heaven by Allura.
Yeah.
Not one-to-one, but like...
Definitely not one-to-one, but the same... It's giving the same energy. It's like the same spirit.
Yeah. If you took Heaven, then took it to hell. Yeah.
if you took Heaven out for a fun night.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. Allura, hurry it up.
They're so good. I think they're out now.
I'll be good soon.
Me once again blasting.
We didn't blow the embargo.
We didn't. They posted about it on their Instagram. It will be launching in 2 weeks, July 10th. 2 weeks from when we're recording. Actually, 2 weeks from when this is when we're releasing. It'll be out July 10th.
Mark your calendars.
It is $40 for the discovery set, but you get like the gift card to put that towards a full bottle.
Sick.
It's $150 for a 50 milliliter. Wow, I would have thought it'd be more expensive. Wow. $200 for 100 milliliters. A steal.
There's just so many fucking brands, but Allura truly.
Everything they do is just so well thought out.
So well thought out. That's exactly well what I was going to say.
So well executed. So beautiful.
Just like exquisite.
Yeah. They really, I feel like they really upped the benchmark for what a luxurious fragrance experience should be. Mm-hmm. Like just even just going to their store.
Yeah.
It's very beautifully executed.
And they're one of the few, and this is rare in fragrance anyway, but they're one of the few brands that almost everything I smell from them feels truly like a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
unique. That's why it's so hard to describe them is because there truly is nothing like them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is a complete category all its own.
Yeah, we love it.
They have one store, as far as we know, in Soho in New York City. So if you are around there, you should definitely go to their store. Also, they have really good beverages there.
Oh.
Get the corn latte.
Yeah. It's honestly would be, this is a dating podcast, a really good date to go smell perfumes and then go get a really,
that
really beautiful,
is a brilliant idea.
Like cocktail, or not cocktail, drink.
They do the chocolate tasting experience there.
Yeah. Or even a good like parent thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Smell You Later travel guide.
Yes.
We should do that, actually.
Activity handbook.
Yeah.
Ooh, we should
We should do that. That's cute.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Ooh, coming soon.
Coming soon.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I have spent the whole year getting humbled by musks. And it started with Anna Malik from Byredo that I thought I was going to hate. I also can't remember when it came out, but it was recent, so whatever. And I really love Anna Malik. And I don't really know how or why I got my hands on this or why I called it in, but I did. But I am wearing the new collaboration from Fredrick Mall and Acne.
Oh.
And I thought, and I think, I continue to think, that the collaboration itself is cool. I really like Frederick Mall. Frankly, I don't really give a shit about acne, but I wanted to understand what this would shake out as. Yep. And I read the notes and I was like, this is going to suck. This is just going to be like a brand play for acne and whatever. Fine. I really love this. And it is so the antithesis of everything that I like.
I'm so surprised you love this.
I know. I really do. Yeah. And even on my person, I am sort of like, do I like this? But I do. Mm-hmm. So it is equal parts musk, aldehydes, and peach. And you spray it on and you get the aldehydes straight away. They're very teethy.
Yeah.
And it's a musk bomb throughout. But the peach really does, it is prominent in the scent. Mm-hmm. And its juiciness and sweetness is, I don't know. I think the juiciness balances the musk and gives that a lot of longevity. And it really sands the edges of the aldehyde, which rides under the peach and musk. I don't know, girl. But again, it's a super lovely, super wearable and enjoyable, I guess I would call it a musk fragrance, but I guess I've rarely smelled a musk that is supported by a sweetness like this.
Yeah, like
you don't like it, right?
I do not like it. I'm the counterpoint.
That surprises me though, because it's do like musks.
I wouldn't call it a musk, because really? All I fucking get are the aldehydes.
They're
I get
prominent.
Some fruity aldehydes just singeing my nose hairs. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the musk comes after that during the dry down, but I didn't want to wait that long.
There's like so much fragrance in the air right now.
Yeah.
The full build is aldehydes, rose, peach, vanilla, sandalwood, and musk. So again, not many more things than we listed. I sprayed it on and I was like, hate it. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, wait a minute, this is really good. And I've been wearing it all week and just really enjoying it. It's, as we like to say, hotter than the devil's dick here in New York right now. And it's a nice sort of light. I wouldn't call it a light scent, but it is a lighter scent as musks tend to be. It doesn't really weigh you down. It's just this idea happening around you. I don't know. I'm so surprised by this. This strikes me as a very like Karen Nesvig scent.
Mm.
So I might just send it to her, because I don't see myself like really going back to this, but I'm really enjoying it right now. Yeah, I think it's interesting. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's a brand collaboration that, are there parallels between acne and Frederick Mall? Who knows?
No idea.
There are now. And
I think everyone's just collaborating with everyone.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, like optimistically, I'm like, great, everyone's getting along. And then like cynically, I'm like, oh, so y'all just trying to exchange your clout. Okay.
Right. Clout or not, collaboration or not. I do like that this doesn't feel super hype beasty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would have assumed if Frederick Mall was making a scent for acne, which is like a Swedish brand that's on the more minimalist side a little bit, I would have thought it would have been just like straight up a musk scent, like a skin scent.
Same.
So I'm like, oh, good. They really sent it with this one.
Yeah, they did. Oh, God damn it. I really like
this. I remember going to their launch event or their press event.
Yeah.
It was just at the acne store in Soho. It was just a bunch of influencers looking hot standing around. Right. So obviously I hated it. But I remember smelling it and I was like picking up the bottle, smelling it, spraying it on a blotter. And then this one dude who was next to me, he like smelled it and he goes, is this good? I was like, do you like this? And I was like, I don't know, man. And he's like, yeah, I don't know either.
That's so funny.
So funny. That was literally the only interaction I had at that event. And then I left.
I went to, on Tuesday night, an event for vacation.
Oh, I missed that one.
I know, because I walked in and literally everyone goes, oh, is Sable coming? I'm like, hello to you too, bitch.
Yeah.
No, it was super fun. They did the classic, like, okay, media from 5:30 to 7, influencers from 7 to 9:30.
And
I was like, okay. But no, it was fun. It was at a flower shop, which is famously a Coke den. But
did you get to meet the founder?
Yes. But not the person
Marty.
That we interviewed.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to meet Marty.
He wasn't there. But no, we did talk to some people from the brand, all of which are, and I mean this in the most positive way, like exactly what you think they'd be, just like super fun, super just chill. And a friend of ours, Shannon, is now doing, she's the director of global marketing there. We know the girls on the inside, and apparently I don't watch the brand that closely.
Same.
Because it's just not really my vibe. I hate nostalgia, but I would prefer.
No, you don't.
I do. I would prefer not to remember. But where they're going in the category of, I don't want to say skincare, but SPFs for the face and body, I think is extremely innovative. And I've heard extremely
good things.
They have
like things. The bronzing drops.
The bronzing
I'm
drops.
Scared of those.
They I think they have a I know that they have a sunscreen stick, especially for face now.
Oh, good.
I think they have one other innovative formula for face as well. So I and that's what we know. I've heard that what we don't know is equally as cool. I think I should start looking a little bit harder at them now because
I just think they're doing really interesting, fun things for sunscreen.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I think that I you know, it's not really my aesthetic, so I think that I miss the innovation that really is so prominent.
Yeah.
So maybe I should look a little harder.
I like that they're making sunscreen fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Same.
I don't know in terms of like what would be the most useful. Mostly, I just think like everyone should make sunscreen in 100-milliliter bottles so I don't have to check a bag when I take them with me. Because that's the one thing I have brands send us shit all the time, including sunscreen, but I can't really take most of them on when I travel because it's too big and I'm not spending $60 to check a bag. So I'm like, please, people, 100 milliliters.
Help the girl out.
Yeah. Anyway, pivot.
People be fucking.
I genuinely hope people are. I'm in like...
Where's this going?
Okay. We've name dropped this brand and product like several times.
Well, we've talked about lube a lot recently.
Yeah.
Yes. But destigmatize lube.
Destigmatize lube. Also, if you need a good lube rec, we always have one for you. And it's always
this brand. And it's always this.
It's always this brand. So we were like, yo, we should just... Dave is really cool. We should have him on the show just to talk scent and talk lube.
When did you first get intro to Dave?
I think it was sometime like 2021. Uh-huh. Full disclosure, I interviewed him for a GQ feature about Good Parts, his lube brand. And the feature centered around the way lube is marketed. And how a lot of it is just marketed towards gay men for penetrative sex.
Heard of it.
But how it is a staple item for them, but for like heterosexual couples or people, it's still like a taboo or stigmatized, even though we mean it too.
Yeah.
Because the idea is, oh, sex should be sexy the way porn is sexy. You don't see people squirting lube. You're just like, moisture. The moisture should just happen, basically. That's the pressure. And that's just simply not true. Even if you do like someone and you do, and like you are turned on by them. It's just, the waterworks are not happening on command all the time.
Right.
And that's where lube comes in. And it shouldn't be a weird thing to just have assistance because honestly, it just enhances the experience for everybody
involved. For everyone. Yeah. So. Sybil then introed me and he very graciously, a few years back, sent us both product and, we're both fans. So.
We are both fans.
And I don't know. We'll get into it in the episode.
Yeah.
But Good Parts is a very queer brand doing what is often considered a very queer product, though it is for everyone. And as people who keep a very close eye on brands ourselves, the way that Good Parts moves and looks is just very refreshing in that it's like super cool and sexy without being over-sexualized all the time and elevated.
Agree.
Like self-aware.
It makes something that could be and is for a lot of people taboo. Yeah. It makes it not only cool, but it like, I feel like it takes away the intimidation from using it.
Yeah.
It's like cool enough that you're like, oh, maybe I will try lube. If you're like, if you just haven't fucked with it before, which then probably will open you up to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been doing this without for so long.
So yeah, I ran into Dave at a party a few weeks ago and that sort of got the wheels turning. And it's like, well, if we're going to fucking talk about lube so much on this podcast, let's just do a lube.
We're doing a lube episode.
And I know that you may be thinking, fragrance has nothing to do with lube. And that's when we say, au contraire.
Not so, as you will find out.
Yes, exactly.
In our interview.
And even if it doesn't convince you, we're still right.
Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Dave Shanfield. I am the founder of Good Parts, which is a sexual wellness and lifestyle brand. And I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about my side gigs, but I also just do branding and creative consulting for other brands as well.
Oh, awesome.
Everything's appropriate.
That makes so
to talk
much more
about.
Sense now. Yeah.
Yeah.
My way in was branding. Weirdly, for mostly in hospitality and restaurants, but I've always just loved packaged goods, strangely enough.
Oh.
Walking through the grocery store as a kid with my mom, looking at the packaging, I actually think that's like where my interest in branding came from.
Oh, that's so cool. I want to unpack that. But before we do, we always start off our episodes by asking our guest, Dave, what do you smell like today?
Oh my God. I smell like, did you hear me? I just smell my.
We did hear the sniff.
Make sure that makes the cut. I smell like someone who has not showered for 14 hours in a 90 degree New York. Like, not like bad, like active. I smell
alive.
Alive. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I smell alive.
Yes.
Well, we, as we said before we hopped on, Sable and I have been talking about lube lately. Yep. On the show and off the mic, and we're both fans of good parts. And I saw you out about a month ago, and I was like, I think this is it. I think we finally rope it in, because we look at fragrance and lube as they both sort of balance the categories of beauty and lifestyle products. So we do look at them as very different, but also very similar. Do you yourself, being the founder of a lube company, do you see similarities between the two?
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's a few things. The most interesting maybe connection or intriguing one is like that they're both personal products that are experienced by other people, right? It's not just like skincare that you put on for yourself. And for sure, like other people like maybe notice if you have glowing skin, but like with fragrance, part of that experience is the way someone else responds to it. And yeah, lube, obviously, similar in that sense.
Yeah. Well, and they both enhance your lives and others' lives in different ways.
True.
Right. It's shared.
It's shared.
Wow. How did I never think of that before? That's crazy. On our own episode we planned.
I'm sure I have listened to a few, and I haven't heard it come up specifically, but I'm sure you guys have talked about the fragrance world in terms of, yeah, it's like effect on the other person, not just the person wearing
it. Oh, yeah. Of course. I feel like some of our listeners would be like, what the fuck are they doing having a lube episode? But I think that's the thesis, right? It's number one, it's our podcast. But two, they are lifestyle products that do enhance our lives in many different ways. But before we get into the lube of it all, we would love to understand a little bit more about your relationship with fragrance.
Yeah. So like when we talked about this episode, I was like, maybe it's a little reachy to try and outline the similarities of fragrance and lube. But moreover, I'm like, Dave's a cool guy and he has a really cool brand, and I'm just interested in what was your experience with scent and fragrance growing up that not made you who you are today, but definitely shaped your tastes and like your interests?
Yeah, I love a good reach. I think I was actually thinking about this, and I don't think I am like a super scent oriented person. Obviously we all experience scents, but it's not something I'm very conscious of. I don't know that I have a terribly sophisticated nose, but scent is obviously so powerful. I think it's the sense that's most directly connected to your memory center. And so when I think about scents growing up, for sure fragrance is part of it. I actually texted my mom before episode because I was like, what was that scent that you always wore growing up? And I had a feeling it was Chanel, and it's Coco by Chanel.
Okay.
Classic.
Shout out to moms classic. Everywhere.
She is Parisian, so it aligns. But she's also a chef, and so like most of the scent, when I think about like scent growing up, it's mostly around food, specifically like coming home from school and dinner being like getting ready. Roast chicken and baked bread are like the two that really jump out at me. Also, we had a little garden growing up, and I worked on a farm for a couple of summers, and tomato vines.
Ooh.
And they make candles too, like vine candles. Yeah. Jonathan Adler had a tomato candle. That was the first time I ever smelled that in a candle, and it just brought me right back there, because I feel like the vines smell different from just like a sliced tomato.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like way more like herbaceous, vegetable, whatever. And so that's a big one for me. And then the other like memory scent that is super strong for me is, we lived in the city up until I was 8 and then moved to the suburbs, which at the time I thought that was like the most amazing thing ever to happen back. Now looking back, I mean, I'm like, dumb Dave. And I'm sure this is like another classic scent for a lot of people, but like the after a rainstorm smell, particularly in the summer.
Yeah.
And specifically on asphalt. I don't know that I can pick up that scent necessarily off in the wilderness, but on a paved road.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I actually majored in ceramics in college or sculpture, and I did a lot of work with cement. And when you're mixing cement with water, that same scent comes up, which I guess makes sense.
Oh, cool.
Ooh.
And I was just like getting these like waves of nostalgia while like standing over a bucket with a drill mixer. But yeah.
I love that. That's such a good answer because yeah. I think a lot of people think of this as a perfume podcast, which we push back on. And yeah. that answer is exactly what the show's yeah. about. You know what I mean?
We vines. Got some perfume, we got some food, and we got some nature.
Exactly.
We want the vines.
It's funny, all of those scents that you mentioned that were so impactful on you, because I feel like in the last couple of years, the sort of home, the home fragrance industry, big home fragrance has really invested in like savory yep. scents. Like you said, tomato vine, there are bread candles, there's croissant yep. and pasta water, yep. things like that. And even petrichor and the scent of a street after rain. So I feel like people might be pivoting away from the homier, cozier scents, going more like real world experiential, because those can be just as comforting.
Definitely.
Well, the memory trigger is like so strong, right? So I feel like if you can get a scent that people like feel that inherent emotional connection to, mm. you're like, that's a good business right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Who is it that's doing? Flamingo Estate is going all in on the tomato.
Definitely.
I know. We're trying to get them on this fucking show. They're doing something right, though.
Yeah. Them, Boy Smells. They had that Boy like Smells, summer yeah. collection last year. With
yeah.
The...
yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Now that you have the lube episode, you'll get anyone who you want.
That's right. That's
we contain multitudes.
We do. But do you wear personal fragrance yourself?
So I didn't for most of my life. Very like, grew up in Axe era.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
I remember one kid spraying it on the school bus and just having to sit for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, that. Then you're all wearing it.
Exactly. But recently, again, I have started to get more into scents. So the one that I wear occasionally that I really like is Forest Lungs by the new company, the new
Oh,
Coat.
Yeah.
Sid loves that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like all buzzy when it first came out. I feel like I haven't heard much about them recently.
I know. They dropped that.
Yeah. But
the scent itself is nice.
Yeah, I still have this same bottle I bought 4 years ago. So that showed how much I use it. But it is such, I do feel like it taps into that nature, rain. It has a little bit of that funky, what did you call it? Petrichor?
Petrichor, mm-hmm. yeah.
Petrichor in it. And I think I also just like the instructions are like used to like calm and center yourself, like spray on your wrists, like inhale deeply, wait mm-hmm. 3 seconds. Like it got me with that.
Yeah. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Functional fragrance. I feel like we heard a lot about it maybe like a year or two ago. And now I'm like, where'd you guys go?
Yeah, I know. I like actually was looking them up recently. Like they have more scents, new products out. They're just like a little niche. Okay, the other scent that I am into is not a fragrance, but a body oil, everyday oil, Mainstay. Do you know this brand?
That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Everyday oil rings a bell.
Yeah.
What are they called again?
Mainstay.
Mainstay.
Everyday oil, I think I'm not even sure. Yeah, Everyday Oil is the brand, and then Mainstay is the product.
I see.
Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah. So I would go into my friend's apartment, and she'd have like just gotten out of the shower. I'm always like, your apartment smells amazing. And she's like, there is no fragrance in my apartment. I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's like the steam from the shower and having put the Everyday Oil on. It has Palo Santo, lavender, geranium, clary sage. I'm sure other things in it too. But I'm obsessed with that scent. It feels subtle. It wears off after a couple of hours, which I like. I don't want to be stuck with something all day. It also feels great on my skin. Mm-hmm. But a similar thing happened to me. I was sitting in a coffee shop near the register, and this woman comes in. She's, oh my God, it smells amazing in here today. What is the guy was like, I don't know. And she kept on asking. And then she looks at me. She's like, it's you.
Oh,
it is me.
Interrogates you.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It's really nice.
I love that.
It sounds like it smells like a really fancy wellness spa from those notes you made.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like in that kind of savory realm. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think I have a very sophisticated nose and a lot of perfume.
You don't have to.
Smell like perfume to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not into that. This has more of a kind of softness. It almost, you know, it almost feels like it like mingles with a human scent rather than.
I get what you mean.
Sure, yeah. Huh?
I feel like that's a very like romantic narrative of how people wear scent, because it'll smell different on everybody because it intermingles with your skin chemistry.
Right.
And I think that's true. That's true of kind of everything you put on your skin.
Right.
I just think more people are catching on to that. So they're like really heroing that out in the narrative.
It's funny because the same scents will pull completely different directions on me and Sable.
True.
The skin chemistry thing, it sounds like a marketing ploy, but it really is depending on the scent. It is true.
Yeah.
And I know that like a critique of like natural scents is that they don't like last as long or aren't as strong as a non-natural product. And like that is totally a bonus for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also with naturals, they can be really strong. They're just not stable.
Yeah.
After a couple of months, it'll just totally smell different, potentially.
Oh, interesting. Oh my God. I wonder if my forest is like...
I think forest lungs is a little bit more controlled.
Yes. Yeah. That is definitely a much more regulated product.
Yeah.
For sure.
We would love to get into good parts. I've been dying to hear this origin story because you've been in our orbit for a while. But now that we've got you in our clutches, can you tell us just how good parts came to be?
Yeah,
for sure. So, I mean, like I said, my background was already in branding. So I'm just very like attuned to packaging, branding, marketing, like this space that brands take up in the world. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was... I was 26 when I started thinking about good parts.
Okay.
And I was just starting to get into skincare in a more serious way. I was like, finally have to take care of my adult acne, like getting a little bit older, want to do like preventative stuff, and was looking at all the different products that were out there. And this was also during the like men's skincare boom, which has since receded a little bit.
Right.
But it's like these brands are like bending over backwards to like market under eye cream to me and hyaluronic acid, just like very specific things which are like great and functional, but I'd never heard of. And meanwhile, the like one personal care product that as a gay man I'm like buying pretty consistently and is in a lot of ways a necessity for a healthy sex life, I appreciate when brands are bending over backwards to sell me something. It's like they're trying to speak to me, and it didn't feel like there was a single lube brand that was trying to speak to me. It's almost like you have to buy it, so why should we try? And when I looked at the brands that were out there, there's either your very generic kind of drugstore brands that look like they would be just as at home in a hospital shelf than as on a CVS aisle shelf. Then there were the brands that were speaking to gay men or are speaking to gay men still are hypersexualized or kink forward, and there's nothing wrong with any of that, but that's to me an occasion, not an everyday thing. It's not necessarily something that I felt like aligned with my aesthetic and my values. And like I said, I come to the world of like hospitality too, and I think of products as part of your spaces as well. That's another connection I would make between like fragrance and lube is I feel like packaging is so inherent to the product, and not just it should look nice, but it has to function well too. It should feel good in your hand. There's a lot of emotion wrapped up in that. And you know, I'm like a scrawny Jewish boy. These like hardcore brands with like pretty out there names, like it didn't feel like me like pulling that out of my drawer.
Definitely. It always feels some type of way when you're like reaching for the gun oil, you know what I mean? Like, what does this say about me as a person?
Yeah, I
know. I like wasn't gonna like name drop, but that's like that's example.
I'll say it.
Exactly. It just didn't feel like me. And then there were and are interesting sexual wellness brands that are positioning sexual wellness and sex more as part of a healthy lifestyle, part of personal care.
Yeah.
But they were almost all speaking like pretty directly and overtly to women. And again, like I don't necessarily have a problem using like a brand that is intended for women. At the same time, it felt like with this in particular, there should be brands that speak to me too.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, it's a classic thing. If you feel this way, there's at least like 100, if not 100,000 other people who feel this way too. So that's really where kind of the kickoff was.
Oh, I love that. Because I feel like a lot of these brands, like you said, are either like hyper masculine or either it's like hyper masculine, hyper feminized, or the D2C sort of like glossification of everything and now lube, where it's like a four letter word against a single color backdrop, and it's okay, is this who we are, you know? Is this all the options that we have? So I feel like Good Parts does strike this balance of just, I don't want to use inclusivity, please, but queerness at large, you know? It's not just for like white gay bears. Not that there's anything wrong with white gay bears. Shout out to them, but
no, exactly. And the other thing I would say about the brands that I think are doing a really great job in this space that are speaking more to women is it's less about the fact that they are female focused brands and more about a lot of them are positioning sex as this very kind of, it's part of wellness. It's like soft. It's like daytime, light, beige. It's organic. I call them like the beige brands because that's the feel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure, but sex is also like weird and funny and messy and like fun and sweaty. And it can be all of these other things that I felt like those brands were in a position to speak to.
Yeah. I feel like when it comes to marketing, sex sells. Everybody's trying to find their own way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like the Sofia Coppola-ification of like women's wellness brands or the hyper like kinky sex forward way.
Yeah.
But then there's like everyone in the middle who's, I just need something that works and isn't embarrassing to pull out of the drawer or make me or my partner feel potentially like pressure that we have to have these mind-bending orgasms from this.
Right. It is so important how you feel about that brand, how that bottle feels in your hand, like the kind of presence of that product and that brand, you know, in this like super intimate moment. They're like, throw you off or in the back of your mind. That's a funny choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost like it should be like a very good assistant who's just like there when you need it, but not like taking out of the attention.
That's our brand personality. Your executive assistant for the
brand.
Speaking of the brand personality, I think what you do, I can tell that you have a background in marketing and branding because the Good Parts brand, I hate when people say like world building, but it's like the buzzword of the week right now. But truly the Good Parts brand universe has always been so just like tight and concise. It's sexy. It's, I don't know, not even kinky. It's just like half locker room, half bedroom, but also funny and self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a fun brand to have in your orbit. And I don't think you're the only queer-owned lube brand out there, of course, but I think that you do it differently and you do lead with this type of queerness that you don't often see. It's not asking for anyone's permission, but how is being a queer-owned lube brand like Good Parts? How has that sort of been for you since you do look and move quite differently than the traditional like sexual wellness brands?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think that, so to be honest, when we started the brand and particularly like how we presented ourselves on Instagram was much tighter than it is now. It
really?
Was much more like in the kind of minimalist, clean, sleek, vaguely masculine, like Good Parts aesthetic. Yeah. People thought we were like big lube, right? From and I'm like, no, it just looks good. Like, and then company, like I remember we posted something on Twitter and someone was like, shut up, brand.
Silence, brand.
<It's Dave. laughs> From that, I actually learned to be a little less precious. Like people want to see like the thinking, the like rawness, the kind of mistakes even like that a brand makes. There's a reason like the Charlie XCX album cover is pixelated and like in Arial or something. Like it's like that kind of like scrappy early internet aesthetic is A, it's like a little nostalgic for people, but B, it's just, it feels real, it feels raw. And we try not to manufacture that, but just like by being a little less precious, not worrying so much, oh, is this exactly our aesthetic? Is this highlighting our colors? Is this kind of the perfect tone for us? I've, just made the brand a little bit an extension of my own personality. The other thing is like, we are not just queer, but we're like independent and queer. And we have no funding. We have, now we're doing a bit of marketing spend, but for the most part, it's been guerrilla since we launched and bootstrapping everything. And the queer community is my community. And they're also the people who started off supporting Good Parts and have continued to support Good Parts. And I always say that we're not queer exclusive, but we are queer first. I think that we are, that's the benefit of growing independently, right? Our goal is to be a major brand, household brand name, like the player in the sexual wellness space. I think like as a CPG brand, like that is always going to be the goal. But because we don't have institutional funding and we don't have pressure to like grow at a certain pace, hit certain numbers in a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. We are growing organically and we're doing that by continuing to speak to, support, and create products for the queer community. And like everything else in the world, like things that get adopted by the queer community end up getting adopted by everyone else too.
It's very true.
That's so true.
Yeah. What's interesting is that as a queer forward lube company, I'm like, okay, this is not that I care about TMI on my own podcast. So
where's this going?
At press time, tragically hetero woman.
Sable isn't gay yet.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I think I haven't met the right woman yet.
Happy Pride, Sable.
Right them yet. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of education out there for vagina owners. Usually until something goes wrong and then you're like furiously Googling or Redditing, like, why is this happening to me? And a lot of which had to do with experiences with trying different lubes and realizing that the ingredients were like not vagina friendly.
Oh.
Like glycerin, for instance.
Really?
Glycerin is a humectant, so obviously it would make sense for it to be in lube, but it's basically just like feed for bacteria. Because it's like I think it breaks down to a simple sugar.
Oh.
So then I like was like, okay, no more glycerin-based lubes, obviously no scented lubes. That's crazy. I don't know why people are still doing that. And then the ones that were aloe vera-based would be made by these like very crunchy kind of wellnessy brands that came in really awkward tubes that like let in air. So then they would expire really fast or just get gross. Mm. I remember, okay, like full disclosure, I think, was it like 2021 when I wrote a GQ profile on you for Good Parts? Yeah. That was kind of like beginning my finding the right lube for me journey. Aww. And so part of me was like, wow, this is an aloe vera based lube that is vagina friendly. And I can absolutely co-sign that like it has not upset my vagina once. Mm. It's such a relief to find something that you're like, okay, I don't have to worry about it. A, being super expensive. B, coming in shitty packaging that's going to be either awkward to use or degrade the product. Mm. And is like a cool looking bottle. The fact that it's queer owned is amazing. But at the same time, I'm like, straight women, what's stopping you from using these queer products?
No, totally. Yeah, I think that a few things. One, like the organic aesthetic. This is the trend. It starts in this very crunchy niche space and becomes more mainstream table stakes. So like mm-hmm. when you think about organic foods, yeah. those used to have a very specific granola aesthetic. And now so many of the foods we buy are organic, but packaged in a more kind of contemporary or just mainstream way. But yeah, obviously I'm not a vagina owner and I interact with them quite rarely. It was super important to me that Good Parts could be for all people, and plenty of people of all identities have vaginas. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that we, you know, simply by having two products, there is a little bit of education involved there in explaining what different products are for, their benefits, their target audiences, etc. And yeah, it is. The other thing with lube is that they're all FDA cleared because it is technically a medical device. Mm-hmm. So there's pretty rigorous testing on everything yeah. that's being sold as a personal lubricant. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's like a lot of really great healthy ingredients. Like there's aloe in our lube. There's also like mushroom extract, quinoa seed extract, linseed extract. And those are all, A, it creates like a pH balanced formula like for the vagina.
Yeah, and that's important.
B, yeah, it's healthy, moisturizing skin ingredients. Mm. And with the organic lube, it's a water-based aloe lube. And so that actually is designed to mix with a natural lubrication of the vagina versus silicone. It has osmolarity, like no osmolarity. So it doesn't actually mix in with your skin or your natural lubricant, which is why it's like more preferred for anal sex typically, because there isn't any natural lubricant back there. So it's a bit more of that like barrier. But either way, I felt a big part of the problem with a lot of the lube brands, beyond just like their aesthetic and some of their sketchy ingredients, was the packaging and just like mm-hmm. those like disc caps or flip caps and like yeah. squeak yeah. upside down. And in particular for some of the brands targeted towards women, it's like those packages are designed for like self-application by the woman. Mm. And Good Parts is like more designed to be used or applied by the top. It's got that one-handed pump action. And talking to a lot of straight men about lube, there's like a huge stigma for lube, and talking to straight women, too, especially like young guys, they feel like if I'm hot and she's into me, like we shouldn't need lube. And if she's bit, like she should get it. And bro, this is like a mutual experience. First of all, like that's not true. Like there's plenty of reasons a woman might want lube, even if she is like super turned on and into you. But it should also be something like that's not just solving a problem, but actually enhancing the experience.
Yeah.
Right. And that they should be like excited to use. So I love the idea that this is a product that a woman would buy, but also like a guy could get excited for. Maybe like you almost buy it for your boyfriend as like a kind of like gift for him, wink wink, also for me.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
What's there not to love? It's lube.
I will say, yeah, there is that weird, I feel like it's a very, the only word I can think of is like a kind of fratty approach to sex where it's, yo, they're basically trying to like mimic what they see in porn.
Yeah.
But anytime I've had a partner, like a sexual partner who like owned lube and wasn't afraid to just reach for it immediately, I'm like, oh, you care about the experience of your sexual partners, and that that makes me and probably your other partners feel like so much more at ease and like comfortable with you. So it can only enhance the experience physically as well as like emotionally.
Totally. No, my favorite is like the straight friends of mine who like started buying lube when I launched Good Parts and I've kept buying it, and they're like, oh, this is amazing. I can't believe I wasn't buying lube before.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
For our listeners who might not know, and I feel like just everyone could use a refresher, I know you briefly touched on it just now, but can you break down the use cases for a silicone and a water-based lube and what is better for when?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it does come down to personal preference. There are women who prefer silicone for them, and there are plenty of gay guys who like use the organic for anal sex as well. Typically the silicone is more geared towards anal sex and the organic is more geared towards vaginal sex. The organic, like I said, has these natural ingredients there, and then is pH balanced for the vagina. It like mixes with the natural lubrication that's already there. Some women complain that like silicone, you feel the presence of it inside of you, or like especially after. But a lot of times when there is less natural lubrication there for whatever reason, silicone actually is preferred by women in that case. The silicone lube has no osmolarity. It does not get absorbed into your skin. Afterwards, it just leaves your body, flushes out, washes away with warm water and soap, but it lasts like forever, like on your hands. And you like can't wash them off. Like your hands will be like, you'll have trouble picking things up all day long.
Oh, I'm aware.
And it feels to me like millions and millions of like microscopic tiny little beads. Like it has like a sense that there's like almost a layer between you and like your skin.
Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for that reason, because there is no natural lubrication, because it is so long lasting, it is generally preferred for anal sex. You cannot use silicone lube with silicone toys because they are the same material. It like causes friction and actually breaks them down.
Oh,
yeah.
Over time. And so in that case, the organic is actually better for anal toys. And I actually prefer it for that too, because it has a little bit of a thicker consistency. So it's easier to apply to a toy.
Dave, what about condoms, specifically silicone condoms and silicone lube?
Can't use silicone condoms with silicone lube, but most condoms actually are not silicone. They're
latex.
Latex. What the fuck did I just say?
Wait, I was like, is there a condom I don't know about?
So
I believe there are silicone condoms out there for people who have latex allergies, but it's not common.
It's interesting. Yeah, because if you have a latex allergy, I think like lambskin was the alternative.
Yeah,
but then it's like, what if you have a latex allergy and you're vegan?
Right. No sex for you.
Yeah.
No sex for you.
Raw dog it.
So silicone and latex do go together.
Yes.
Yes. Amazing.
Good to know.
I know that we talked a lot about lube, but lube is not the only thing Good Parts does. We know that you have, which I'm a big fan of, the Everywhere Balm. Do you want to talk about that? And then maybe just like, I think my follow-up question to that is, I look as lube as a lifestyle product as much as it is a sexual wellness product. So from Everywhere Balm, where else could we go from that? I feel like the limits are endless for you.
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing it up, because I also am like obsessed with / maybe addicted to the Everywhere Balm. That is our only scented product. We called the scent Original Heat, and the idea was like that it was actually supposed to mimic or enhance body heat. And It has clove bud oil in it, which is what gives it its scent, a little bit of ginger too. Mm-hmm. It is truly an everywhere balm. Like, I use it as an everyday lip balm. A lot of my friends use it for cuticles. Friends with tattoos use it as like a tattoo treatment. Mm. But it also has application for anal sex. So clove bud oil is a natural relaxant. So it helps ease things in back there. Also, because of the consistency of it, it being a balm, it stays more on outside. Lube can get like squeegeed inside, which is great. That's where it should be. But like the outside can get beat up. And so the everywhere balm like provides like a physical barrier there. And so it's like great treatment for like before and after. It's like naturally antimicrobial too, so like for any kind of like small like tearing, bruising, it's got a soothing and antimicrobial property as well. So yeah, I love everywhere balm. There are like natural ingredients in there, and so people should definitely check to make sure you're not like allergic to any of them, and highly recommend trying it on a part of your skin that's not your butthole before. But like by and large, people do love it. And Good Part's goal is really to create products that are intentional, that people are currently using substitutes for, or things that are not necessarily intended for that. So people, a lot of guys will use Aquaphor in the same way. Aquaphor is great. It doesn't really feel like it's intended for that. We wanted to create an elevated natural version of something like an Aquaphor or a Vaseline that we're also telling our customers, like, yes, this is a proper use for this product. Also, just again, feels more elevated, beautiful, nicer ingredients, all of that.
Right.
So that's everywhere balm. And in that same like ethos, we want to continue to like create more products in that vein. I believe there's that Oscar Wilde quote, everything's about sex except for sex. Sex is about power.
Yep.
Real.
We'd be selling power.
We're in the business of power.
Exactly. And to some degree, I agree with that. And I think that you see it, like you said, like you can use sex to sell anything. At the same time, so many products are like when you get dressed, when you're picking out your outfit, when you're like putting on your fragrances, there is an element of like, how does this enhance my sexuality to all of those things? Mm-hmm. And so I believe I could touch in products in any of those spaces that do enhance someone's sexuality, as well as, again, creating those intentional products. So looking down the pipeline, should I drop this here? Yeah, I'll drop this here.
Oh my God, I have an exclusive.
Right.
We're working on a men's self-pleasure lotion. I shouldn't actually, for anyone with a penis. And you can imagine what that means. But rather than your kind of like the big classic jug of Jergens next to elevating that experience. And I do think that's another thing that some of these brands for women have done really well is talking about healthy masturbation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Conversation for guys is still cranking one out. And I think that there's not like there's anything wrong with cranking one out, but there's like a balance. There's a way that you can create like a healthy masturbation ritual that I would really love for us to be able to have that conversation, own that space with this product, which I'm super excited about. It's actually an idea I had like from the get-go, from when we were launching Good Parts, but just couldn't make it happen until now.
Whoa. I love an exclusive.
You got it.
It makes me think of that. Not one. There's like a few articles that are like Gen Z aren't having sex. And I'm like, so what are they? What are they? Like, everyone's horny. So I'm like, so what are you doing? And so are you just like, everyone's masturbating?
I don't want to get my ass beat by Gen Z.
It's funny because I've talked to people and they're like, isn't that like a niche product? I'm like, I don't think so. Like, right. I think it has potential to be much more popular than lube even.
Yeah.
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 Very low barrier to entry.
There's one less ingredient involved. Would you ever make travel sizes?
Yes. So another exclusive, we have travel sizes, silicone only. It was a test.
Because I know packaging is such a doozy, like every time you make any new SKUs.
It's such a doozy. Again, we're like independent, so it's expensive. We do small runs, which also makes them more expensive per unit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we were in a very high demand for a specific event, and we rushed this process a little bit. So we are reconfiguring our minis. We call them cruisers.
They're in R&D right now.
They're in R&D. So cruisers 2.0 will be launching hopefully by fall. And the packaging is going to be amazing. Actually, we designed the packaging with AI. And now we're...
Oh, interesting.
Making it real.
I love that.
which is like a cool thing that could only happen as of 3 months ago.
Wow.
It's so sick.
It's wow. I'm having way too much fun with AI. If you look at our like Instagram.
I was going to ask.
A lot of the images, yeah.
AI generated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For an independent business that, like, again, has almost no marketing budget, like, yeah. It's a godsend. And, you know, like, I'm having so much fun doing it. Like, I'm doing all of that myself. For me, like, good parts, if I'm having fun, it's going well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, if I'm having fun, it generally means the company is doing better.
Yeah.
So it's, and then just like personally too, I think time I start to get stressed out or freaking out about like where good parts is going, I want to make money. Yes, I want the company to be successful. Yes, I want to be able to provide amazing sexual wellness products to everybody. But I also just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And to me, preserving that as we grow is just so important. And so, yeah, right now, that good time for me is like playing around on Adobe Firefly and Midjourney.
I love that. This has been such a different but incredible episode for us. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we're excited to roll this one out to our listeners who may or may not be familiar with Good Parts or Lube in general. And I think we all have learned something today. So
yeah, we can close out Pride Month with our first Lube episode.
Oh, yeah. I hope you don't lose any listeners. And
I hope
they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, instead I'll just gain customers.
If anything, we hope you gain customers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aw. Yeah, no, this has been so much fun. It's my first podcast interview, and I'm like a big
fan.
So this is super for me.
Amazing.
Damn. We got like three
and full circle with that GQ article, too.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I'll hit you guys up with the exclusive when we launch that product.
Yes.
Oh, please. Thank you. Yeah.
I want to see Good Parts go to the farthest expanses of their category and beyond. I want a Good Parts fragrance, quite frankly.
I also want one.
Because that balm smells really good. Yeah. I love clove.
Yeah, yeah. I could see a candle coming into the picture.
For sure.
Maybe one of those kind of like massage candles. Uh-huh. Those scare me. I don't.
Same.
Ow. I don't want to ow.
No. Body oil.
Body oil.
Deodorant.
Oh, dude. Body oil.
Giving away too many free ideas.
But yeah, I genuinely, not that this will help anyone, but I do think having enjoyable sex is, I hate calling it wellness. It's just live your life, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and I know obviously lube is not the main issue to why people are not having sex. But I hope that can enhance your experience when you do meet someone who is worthy of penetrating you.
You really ran with that.
This is a sex and dating podcast now.
It sort of always has.
It kind of always has been. I don't know. So many of my friends are in like long-term open relationships, which I find fascinating as a third-party bystander who has nothing at stake here. So I just love hearing the tea. But I'm just like, how do y'all do this? Mostly I'm just like, wait, if so many people now are doing ethical non-monogamy, hopefully ethically, and people aren't having as much sex, I'm like, what's the deal here?
How did we get here?
How is this happening?
How did we get into open relationship?
I don't know. Just blabbing. I'm just telling you what's in my orbit. Nice. This isn't my life algorithm. Is everyone's in open relationship primarily. And good for them.
It does feel like that.
It feels like that to the point where our friends, when I say our, I mean like me and my boyfriend, they're just like, so do you think you guys would ever do that? You know how some people are having conversations of like, hey, so do you guys think you're going to, like, when do you think you're going to marry or think you're going to have kids? Other people are just like, when are you going to guys open your relationship? I'm like, what is this?
I barely have time to fuck my boyfriend. I don't want to fuck other people. How many hours in a day do you people have?
My only thing against it is that I know some aspect of this will put me in a situation and I just simply don't want to be in one.
I'm against it. Yep. Focus.
Focus. Commit.
Do whatever you want.
We're losing our American ideas.
That was...
Tell us...
Not what I...
Send us
I
a voice note about your thoughts on open relationships.
No, please don't.
And lube.
Yes, if you are looking for a new lube brand or looking to restock or looking to explore lube, go hit up Good Parts. So happy to have had them on today to talk.
Their Instagram is at verygoodparts. Mm-hmm. I think that's also their website.
Just, I think it's a masterclass in, and I don't mean this in the douchebag way, like really incredible branding that it's just, it's sexy without being sexual most of the time.
You
know how
that,
it's like sometimes hotter to see, it's to me always hotter to see like a hot photo of a hot person who is clothed and you just see like a peak of a midriff or something than just like a fully naked photo.
Yep.
That's what Good Parts is.
Yeah.
It's so sexy, but it's like everything that you can't see.
Exactly. Anyway, if you're having sex, go get some good lube.
Go get lube. And follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. Also, go to our website, leave us a voice note. We have very gorgeous merch that is remains to be one of the most comfortable things that I own. We have t-shirts. It's summer. Did I miss anything?
The website is smellylater.live.
Yeah. They'll find it.
We'll find it. Just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it.
I'm at Table Who's Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.